We have some amazing scripture passages this morning on this last Sunday of Epiphany, and I'd like to talk about our reactions to glory, our reactions to God's presence, God's light. So it's really part two of the last sermon I preached. Glory, mystery, the transcendent presence of the holy, the enlightened mystery out there on this last Sunday in the season of light and illumination. So in Exodus 34, that first reading, Junaki read, Moses goes up Mount Sinai. Now, I've climbed Mount Sinai, at least what most people believe to be Mount Sinai, and it's a climb. But this story is really about what happens when Moses returns from that mountain in prayer. Because we learn that, quote, Moses did not know the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God, end quote. It's an amazing image if you think about it. It makes me want to be a cinematographer or a director. How would you visualize that happening where this Moses, unaware that his face is shining, returns to his people? But what is Aaron and the people's response when they see Moses? Fear. They're afraid. Again, people are afraid, which is reasonable, but it's interesting. And so Moses does what? He puts on that veil so as not to overwhelm them. In the gospel, as we heard, read by Liz, we have the transfiguration story this day, this last Sunday of Epiphany in Luke's version. And Jesus, like Moses, goes up the mountain to pray, and his face as well is shining. In fact, everything about him, his clothes, dazzling white, we're told, that overwhelming mystery and presence. And Peter sees that vision of Jesus with Moses of the law and with Elijah representing the prophets and so the whole tradition of the people. And he's pleased, he's happy, he's excited. He wants to capture this moment. This is a good thing, he says. Let's build three booths. You can stay here. Let's keep this going. But they have to go back down. And as they, right before they do so, this cloud comes, and then they become terrified. So once again, they're afraid. And they hear this voice in the midst of that fear that says, "This is my chosen one. Listen." Now, it's interesting here because we have the option, if you noticed in the gospel in your bulletin, there are brackets around what happens next, which means it's optional whether you read that part or not. It's about the next day. So do we want to stay on the mountain with the glory, or do we go back to the lowlands? Jesus goes back to the lowlands, and that next day, he's in the thick of things. And it's a low point because this man from the crowd whose son is violently ill, having seizures, is seeking for him to be healed, his only son, reflecting what happened on the mountain. "This is my son. Listen to me. Your disciples have failed me." They tried to heal him and they failed. And that's when Jesus utters those words, which are hard to hear and hard to even read. "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you?" How would you feel if you heard those words and were a follower of Jesus? I guess this is when the doctrine is proven right that Jesus is fully human. Disappointment, frustration, grumbling, complaint. But then what does he do in that moment, in the midst of that frustration, in the midst of that despair with what's happening? What does he do? He has mercy. He responds, and he heals the man's son. Obviously, the man is grateful. And we're told that all were astounded. So it raises the question for us, if we believe in the mystery, the transcendence, the glory, the light, God's reality, love, and compassion, what do we do with that when we go back to the lowlands? How do we bring the sacred to the mundane? How do we bring the holy? Because that's what Jesus does. As we see in today's gospel, that's what Jesus does. And that's why Paul writes to the people in Corinth in this historical record that we have and speaks about boldness, speaks about taking off the veil. Accept your true identity. Don't lose heart, he says. How do we stop hiding our true faces? It reminds me of C.S. Lewis's novel, Two We Have Faces, which is based on a Greek myth but speaks to this archetypal truth. How do we remove the mask and find our true selves? Show ourselves, not perfect, but desiring to know the light and to live out the love that we have from God. How do we truly love? To know that we have the freedom and the power to love ourselves, to love others, to be compassionate. St. Paul says an amazing thing, and I really don't remember reading it before in this epistle. It really jumped out at me. Quote, "Refuse to practice cunning, but by the open statement of truth, let us commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God." Let us commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. What does conscience there mean? Conscience means an inner sense of what is right and wrong, impelling one towards action. How do we remain conscious of that? It was interesting that Walter, when he read the epistle, tripped over conscience and said, conscious. How are we conscious of our conscience, that thing that impels us to know what is right and wrong, impels us to action? It's an amazing part of being human. It's an amazing possibility. It's an amazing power. It's an amazing choice. How do we reflect the glory unveiled? I want to share a song with you this morning. I was online this week, and as it goes, you go from one thing to another, right? So I went from one theologian named Pemberton to a musician named Peterson and to a song I never heard before. I'm going to ask Jim to play piano. It's a song written by a father, and it was inspired. He has two kids, and the video is lovely. If you look it up, it's called Be Kind to Yourself. I have to plug in. This is when I wish I was an evangelical preacher without the robes. So, Andrew Peterson wrote this song for his 13-year-old daughter who was going through a hard time, as teenagers can, as we know. Many of us have been there. And she was upset. She was angry about something. But he realized that she was blaming herself. She became angry at herself. So he went into her bedroom and just tried to speak with her and said a little prayer to say how precious she was and how she was loved. And he talked for a while. And he felt good about it and later went back to the bedroom with his wife and was proud of his parenting and told his wife what he had told to his daughter. And she said, "Those are good words. I hope you listen to them because it's exactly what I told you 2 days ago." So the song has multiple levels. It's about the father's song to his daughter. It's about the relationship of between our loved ones, and it's about God's relationship with us. Multiple meanings. It's called Be Kind to Yourself. That's heaving like an ocean, you're drowning in a deep dark well. I can hear it in your voice that if you only had a choice, you'd rather be anyone else. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he made your precious heart. Be kind to yourself. Kind to yourself. I know it's hard to hear it when that anger in your spirit is pointed like an arrow at your chest. The voices in your mind are anything but kind. Can't believe your father knows best. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he's shaping your heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. How does it end when the war that you're in is just you against you against you? Gotta learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies. Expect to be perfect. It's a fight you gotta forfeit. You belong to me, whatever you do. So lay down your weapon, darling. Take a deep breath. Believe that I love you. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Gotta learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too. Gotta learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too. Isn't that a lovely song? I want to say to end that 95% of the universe does not reflect light, but we do. Our skin is translucent, and so are our souls. The Christian journey, especially as we move into Lent, is about accepting the darkness as truth, and accepting the light as truth, and making a choice to unveil ourselves, to know our true selves, changed and transformed, aspiring to reflect the light of Christ. May it be so. In the name of God's mercy, amen.